And Money Printer Go Burr! Welcome, friends and enemies. On the Monday that you're hearing this, it is day 301 of 15 days to flatten the curve.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Do you want people to die? I think you want people to die. You want people to die. If you're not wearing a muzzle, you want people to die.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
What do you complain? It's only 15 days to flatten the curve. What's the big deal? Just stay home, watch Netflix. 15 days, flatten the curve. Everything will be fine after that. It is the great one himself, founder of Central Libertarian Society. Yes, cruise missile, intellect, statist, retards, fucktards, libtards, cucktards, tards, everywhere tards. Here a tard, there a tard, everywhere a tard, tard. Old MacDonald had a farm, and it was filled with tards. Tards! So, oh man, I'm in a good mood. You know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a lot of things. That's why you're here. He said, what am I going to do today? I'm going to listen to the Great One podcast, and he's going to tell me things. That's what you came here for. You came here for me to tell you things. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to start this off by me telling you things. Surrounded by retards. We're not diving deep into this, but I got this letter today. What's this? Oh, on the back, of course, it has to be fucking written in Spanish because this is the United States of America. We can't expect people in this country to actually speak English. God fucking forbid. I wonder if they do that. Everybody's, we should be more like Europe. Okay, so if I go to France, does France print everything in French and Spanish? Does Germany print everything in German and Spanish? Does Sweden print everything in Swedish and Spanish? Yeah, we should be more like Europe. So I get this today because, as you know, thanks to 15 days to flatten the curve, I don't have a job anymore. So I've been getting the unemployment. I've been getting my gimme dats, and I feel perfectly entitled to those gimme dats because, once again, if the government that you fuckwits voted for is going to destroy my career and put me out of a job, then, yeah, I'm going to take your fucking tax money in the form of redistribution. You're goddamn right I am. And no, I don't.
You're an anarcho-capitalist in Utah, don't you feel?
No. This is tax money taken from the population, most of whom are fucking libtard fuckwits. And then most of the other ones are fucking conservative fuckwits and goddamn cuck fuckwits. Okay? So no, I don't feel bad taking your money. Not a goddamn bit of it. Go fuck yourself. So I get this fucking letter, like a printed letter on paper through the Postal Service, okay? This is from the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. And it says a bunch of shit, but let me get down here. It says blah, 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 blah. The last week, we can pay PEUC, that stands for Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation, for those of you who didn't lose your jobs, thanks to 15 days to flatten the curve. The last week we can pay PEUC benefits is the week ending 12/26/2020. So the last week they can pay the benefits. Now, this is a letter to tell me that I can sign up for these benefits. Understand? I suppose I should tell you that. All right. It says up here at the top, notice that you may be able to receive pandemic emergency unemployment compensation. And it's, you must sign up for PEUC before we can pay you. Okay. So this is notifying me that I may be able to receive PEUC and that I have to sign up for PEUC before they can pay me. Right. It says here, the last week we can pay PEUC benefits is the week ending 12/26/2020. The letter itself is dated 12/29/2020. I did not get it until January the 9th. So the benefits ended on December the 26th. They sent me a letter printed on paper telling me I could get the benefits that ended on the 26th of December. They sent me the letter telling me about that on the 29th of December. And thanks to the efficiency of the post office, it didn't arrive until the 9th of January. That, my friends, that is the retarded dystopia. That right there is the retarded dystopia. We live in this. This is where we live. The retarded dystopia. Ladies and gentlemen, I am officially declaring this is not the year 2020. I mean, 2021. God, boy. You know, when you fuck up like that, it kind of takes the wind out of your fucking jokes. Now, if I was a real podcaster, not a gay podcast, if I was a homosexual podcaster, I would be Aaron Clary. If I was a real podcaster, I would edit that out to make myself sound good. But I sound so fucking good that, see, I can fuck up and still fucking do this better than any other motherfucker. You know why? Because I've been podcasting for 16 motherfucking years, and Michael W. Dean and I fucking invented podcasting when the rest of you didn't know what the fuck yelling at the internet was. This is not the year 2021. See, you think it is. You're thinking, I think it's the year 2021. Why, it says so right there on that cat calendar that I have that has pictures of cats hanging on pieces of string, and it says, hang in there. No, this is not the year 2021, the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer. This is not even the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ, 2021. No, my friends, this is year one. This is year one RD, retarded dystopia. I am starting the fucking calendar over. This is not a joke. 2020 was year zero. RD. Welcome to year one, RD. The retarded dystopia is in full effect. Let me tell you about the retarded dystopia. Now, we've been told that the voting system is secure and all this other shit, right? The government, state governments, run the voting. We're told that the voting system, the whole thing, that the mail-in ballots, the computers, the whole shebang, it's secure and it's checked and all this other shit. There could be no fraud. It's impossible. Now, there was fraud 4 years ago when the Trump and Fuhrer got elected. The Russians were controlling it. But this year, there was no fraud whatsoever. Now, think about this for a minute. This secure voting system that produced the most secure election ever, according to the media, who for 2 months before the election told us that this election was going to be compromised and filled with, what's the word I'm looking for? Fuck, that word. You guys all know the fraud. Another F word. There's so many F words. The entire election process is secure, verified, solid, rock science. And that election process is administered by the same people who sent me a piece of paper on January the 9th that was dated the 29th of December for some benefits I could have gotten that I cannot get after the 26th of December. The same people found out. Now, You know, I put up all the Christmas lights. You know, I'm taking all the Christmas lights down. It snowed yesterday, of course, because I've got to spend this entire coming week outside doing Christmas lights. But the weather forecast actually looks like it's going to be good. It's actually, right now, outside, it's actually pretty fucking nice. Sunny, the snow's already melting off. If I didn't, honest to God, if I didn't have to, number one, talk to you assholes, and then number two, later today I got the guild meeting for the Star Wars The Old Republic game. Like, if I didn't have to do those two things today, I'd probably be outside right now, because it is actually nice. And then, of course, I am going to be outside for the next 5 days for 8 hours a day taking down Christmas lights, so I'm going to get myself plenty of outdoors, fresh air, sunlight, vitamin D, because I need more vitamin D, because I have toxic levels of vitamin D. Toxic. I'm about to fucking die. I'm going to drop dead any fucking minute because of the toxic levels of vitamin D in my body. And you know, there's this one guy, he did a paper. There's a possibility that vitamin D deficiency might be linked to Wuhan. Whoa, who knew? As if the problem, of course, is that Wuhan is not a thing. So the election, which is administered by the state, is the most secure election ever. It's administered by the state, the same state that sent me this piece of paper, the same state. Now, how is the state of Colorado, going to detect fraud in the election? When? So we found out this. One of the guys I'm working with taking down Christmas lights, we're going to call him Jason because we're going to talk about him in a second. Jason has been employed through the entire 301 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. Come to find out, somebody applied for and has been receiving Jason's pandemic emergency unemployment compensation from the state of Colorado, the state of Colorado, okay? The same entity that is telling us this is the most secure election ever and there couldn't possibly be any election fraud, this same entity has, for 301 days, more or less approximately, been giving unemployment payments to someone who was not the person they thought it was. Now, you would think somewhere over the 300 days, they might have figured out that fraud was taking place, but they didn't. And yet, you expect me to believe that this same entity, this same organization, this same group of idiots would be able to detect fraud in the election process. No, they're not going to figure it. You know why? Because we live in a retarded dystopia, and it is year one, RD. It's all downhill from here. Jason, you know, it's weird. Now that I've decided I need to get the fuck out of Colorado, I found all these people at this company who are all fucking Trump supporters and right wing. It's weird as shit. So Jason is also, in addition to lifting weights, and in addition to being a guy who can like rip phone books apart with his fucking bare hands, and in addition to being a guy who is like me, he's not keto, but he's like semi-keto. He doesn't drink alcohol. He doesn't eat sugar. I mean, just he's one of these guys, he's so fucking healthy that even I want to slap the shit out of him. He's in such good shape physically. I got a little bit of fat. I'm like, dude, you don't go woman on me. Oh, I'm so fat. I mean, he's like, yeah, I got a little bit of fat around my stomach. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? The guy's in such good shape, even I want to slap the shit out of him. He's also a Christian. So he goes to church, and he is telling me that he found a church that they're still having in-person get-togethers, and you don't have to wear a muzzle. And see, he was all happy, right? Him and his family, and he's married, and he has kids. They're his kids. I mean, the guy is a fucking aberration, if that's the right word. Somebody sent me a message. Somebody sent me a message on Gab and told me I was using a word wrong, which is probably true. I'm going to sit here and tell you that I'd never use a word wrong. Are you fucking insane? Have you ever listened to my goddamn podcast? I'm sure I did use a word wrong. I'll probably use one wrong within the next 7 minutes. It's just, you know, hopefully you guys know what I mean. If you don't, go fuck yourselves. He also told me, speaking of being married and having children that are yours, he also told me, and I tried to get back on Gab today. Gab is down. You know, Gab, God damn it. You know, I wish Gab was as good as Gab thinks it is. I really do. It's got a lot of technical problems, and now they've got Gab TV. So now they're going to try to get into the YouTube thing, and they've got a Gab cell phone. It's like, guys, you need to calm the fuck down, because they made that browser. And then, I don't know, I haven't checked lately, but they made it, and then it was there, and they just stopped getting updated, and it felt like it was languishing. Guys, you motherfuckers need to find one goddamn thing, and you need to focus. Because until I can automatically post my podcast, my fucking WordPress post, when they go live, until I can automatically post them on your fucking social media, like I can on fucking Twitter and Feminist Book, can you just get some basic shit down, like making your core fucking concept work correctly before you start trying to do shit like we're going to compete with YouTube? The guy on the Gab also told me that Jack Spierko, whom you've heard of Jack Spierko because I've been talking about him way too much. He says Jack Spierko, he wrote something to the effect of, Jack Spierko is literally a cuck. He married a single mother. And I'm just like, God damn, are you shitting me? And, you know, I wrote back something like, okay, has he said this or written this? You know, basically just trying to find, okay, is this like just a rumor? You know, like Donald Trump was urinated on by Russian hookers, okay? Okay, do you have video? I mean, okay, and I'm not sticking up for Spierko. He could very well be. That would explain a lot, but I could probably just Google Jack Spierko. He's probably got a Wikipedia page or something. In fact, I'll do that when this podcast is over. But cucks. I mean, God damn it. If he really, you know, hang on. We just have to find out now. Give me a second here. Am I on Google? Jack Spierko. YouTube. No, go away. Fuck. LinkedIn. No, he's on LinkedIn. The fuck is this? Okay, so he doesn't have... Let me bring the fucking microphone over here. I wasn't intending for this to even take this long. So really, he doesn't have a Wikipedia page that's popping up. Damn, does he not have a Wikipedia page? I mean, I would just... kind of surprised here. All right, I know you guys didn't tune in to listen to this. What is this fucking pop-ups? What is this fucking... All right, fuck off. Oh, here we go. Oh, Conservapedia. What kind of gay-ass shit is this? By the way, speaking of gay-ass shit, so you know that chick who died in Washington, D.C., who got shot? was just Googling her name, and I the New York Times or Post or some shit like that. And I didn't read the whole thing. I skimmed it. But one of the newspapers slash mainstream media did this fucking hit piece on her about how she, and once, guys, she was in the Air Force and she's a fucking woman and I don't care. But, you know, though I'm skimming through the thing. It's like she left her family and she believed in QAnon and she didn't have a job for a little while and just all of this shit about her. And I'm like, yeah, and if this would have been a fucking black woman, you would be praising her. God, is there any, anyway, it's just nauseating and sickening. But this is fucking year one, RD. And it's just going to get worse. The disinformation and the obvious. I mean, so there's the riots in D.C. How many people got shot by the cops? One that we know of. And then there were, that last time I checked, there were three other deaths, according to, quote, separate medical emergencies, unquote, which apparently is the code phrase now for getting shot by the police. Can you imagine if during the fucking Black Lives Matters riots, a black person had been shot by the cops and then three other black people died from separate medical emergencies? Can you imagine had that happened? All right, anyway, blah, 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 Spearco, blah, 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 pod external link. Do we have anything about his fucking, no, quote, no, personal website. He has a personal website. Get, what the fuck is this? What in the fuck? All right, I don't know. But, it, you know, all I'm saying here, yeah, he might be a fucking cuck. I would not fucking put it past him. Because all you fucking conservatives out there, when you get down to it, all of you eventually at some point cuck. Because all of you are terrified of being disliked, especially by your fucking enemies. You're really terrified of being disliked by the people who want to kill you. So I'm not sure how we got here, but the last I checked, I was supposed to be telling you about Jason and his family, including his children, which are actually his children, born of the woman he's married to. Strange concept. Jason and his wife and his children found a church they could go to and not wear a muzzle. And then the church got shut down. You know why the church got shut down? Because somebody reported the church to the government for assembling without wearing muzzles. Welcome to the retarded dystopia. Where people die from separate medical emergencies. Apparently now, Parlor, or Parlay, or however it's pronounced, the social media Parlor Parlay, has been removed from the app stores of both Google and Apple. Well, why, great one? I don't know why. Let's take a wild guess. I'm going to bet it has to do with white supremacy. Because everything is white supremacy. In year one, RD, everything is white supremacy. You're not wearing a muzzle? You're a white supremacist. You want to go to church and not wear a muzzle? You're a white supremacist. Do you use gab? You're a white supremacist. Did you vote for Donald Trump? You're a white supremacist. So I'm at work with Jason and Duck Dynasty and the black guy who is a Trump supporter. And we're talking. And the conversation got around to role-playing games. Because everybody there has either played or is familiar with role-playing games, Dungeons & Dragons and stuff. Jason plays. The black guy is we'll call him Tyrone. He needs a name.
Great one. How come everybody else has a name and you just call the black guy the black guy? Are you racist?
Yes, I'm a fucking white supremacist. Okay, take my fucking app off your fucking Play Store. So Jason has played Dungeons & Dragons. Duck Dynasty has heard of it and is vaguely familiar with it. And then Tyrone has played Dungeons & Dragons. And of course, I've played role-playing games. And somehow or another, we got to talking about that. And I told them about how the Dungeons & Dragons now, because remember somebody left a comment on the website about how Dungeons & Dragons in the book talks about how you can play characters that think they're the other gender or what the fuck, you know, mentally ill. You can role play somebody who's mentally ill. And I told them about that, and I told them about the Pathfinder game on the character sheet, how it has a place on the character sheet for your fucking gender identity and your pronouns. And it was like, holy fuck, man. And so we start talking about the pronouns. So Tyrone says, yeah, I've done a number of events, like corporate events, where people go up to the podium to talk and they have to announce who they are. And they say, I'm Sally Struthers and my pronouns are she slash her. You know, I'm Bobby Wilkerson and my pronouns are Zay and all this shit, right? And Tyrone says, I would like to go to one of those events and speak. And I'd go up to the microphone and I would say, my name is Tyrone and my pronoun is nigger. I got to tell you, that is one of the most brilliant and funny things I've ever heard. We were dying. Because you may or may not have heard, I don't know where this went. This was a long time ago. Some kid in college, you know, what's your pronoun? And he said, my pronoun is your majesty or, you know, your excellence or supreme ruler of the universe. You know, he came up with something like that. But can you imagine? Why don't you just stop? And I know some of you right now. Now, some of you heard the word nigger and you had this negative response. Okay, you're a cuck. This is not, you might be a cuck, you're a cuck. You are a cuck, okay? If you had any negative emotional response to me saying the word nigger, you are a cuck. End of discussion, 100%, not up for debate. Can you imagine a room full of libtard white people who think there's no such thing as gender, believe in tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism, who wearing BLM t-shirts and they support BLM and oh my goodness, some of them even have black friends. They voted for Biden because they want racial equality, and they're in this room, and they're all just basking in the glory of how virtuous they are and how good they are and how much better they are than those people who voted for Donald Trump. And this black man comes walking up to the lectern. It's not a podium. Podium is the thing you fucking stand on. The thing you stand behind is called a fucking lectern. This black man, young, good-looking black man, is walking up to the lectern. He thinks, ah, man, he's gonna tell us about how he's oppressed by whitey. We're gonna be allies for him, and oh, we're gonna feel so good. We're gonna get so much virtue signaling out of listening to this black man speak to us about the struggles he's had to endure in his attempts to overcome the oppression that is heaped upon him by the Trump supporters. Oh, God. They're feeling, oh, they're feeling it. They're feeling the virtuous flowing through their bodies. They're getting ready to praise the BLM. And the young black man walks up to the lectern. And he leans in close to the microphone just like this. And he says, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for having me here at your event today. I'd like to say my name is Tyrone, and my pronoun is nigger." And the meltdown begins! Oh, the meltdown. Oh, the meltdown. Oh, the meltdown. Oh, the meltdown. God, I don't want to see it live. I want that recorded. I want that recorded in high definition from multiple angles. Oh, I want to see that. Yes, my friends, a black man telling a crowd of white libtards, retards, my pronoun is nigger. Oh, I want to see that. I want to see it over and over again. I want to post it on YouTube and have it taken down. Post it on YouTube again and have it taken down. Post it on YouTube again. Have my account banned. Start a new fucking account. Post it on YouTube again and have it taken down. So I told you guys I got this book from the library, The Practice of Natural Movement, which I heard about over on the Art of Manliness podcast when they had the author on there talking about it. And it is a 475-page book, full size, you know, 8.5 by 11 pages. Basically, it's about moving your body naturally. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, how in the fuck do you write 475 pages about moving your body? Well, I haven't read the book because I haven't had time to read 475 pages, but I have skimmed through it and I've read little bits here and there. And I have to tell you, you know, so initially I see this book, it's 475 pages of how to move your body. And I'm thinking, okay, this has got to be kind of, I don't know, repetitive or fluff or stupid or something. But the parts that I've read, the man actually makes some fucking really good points. And I'm saying this to you about this book to say that, you know, if maybe you want to, I'm going to tell you to buy the book. How much does this thing cost, does it say? This is a $60 book. I'm not telling you to buy a $60 book, but you could get it from your library. Give it a look if you're interested in physical fitness and health. Because one of the points he makes, see, and I agree with this, is that there's a difference between what's the right words here? He uses the words. I knew the words until I had to do a podcast and actually use the words to communicate information to other people. And then the words just went right out of my brain. Functional strength versus specialized strength. Right, so it's one thing to be able to bench press a large amount of weight on a machine, right? I just used the word that just went out of my fucking mind. Functional versus specialized. That's specialized strength. But it's not functional necessarily. I mean, it might be, but it may not be. But sure, maybe you can bench press 250 pounds on a machine, but can you lift something that's 250 pounds in real life? And that's one of the big distinctions he makes. And the book focuses on the fact that there is a difference between these things and that having strength in specific, why can I not remember this word? I've just said the word multiple times. It's already gone. Specialized. Good God, I'm like it's fucking year one, retarded dystopia, emphasis on retarded. Let me write this word down so I specialize. Apparently I'm specialized, or at least special. Functional. I wrote that down because apparently I am dysfunctional right now. So basically the book is all about creating functional strength as opposed to specialized strength. Which makes total sense to me. I still haven't had time to read the entire book. I'm not going to read the entire book because I got to take it back to the library because my checkout period has ended. But I just want to read a little chunk of this to you because, like I said, I just opened it up and start reading places. There's interesting shit here. All right, and this is something some of you may have already known. Recent studies suggest that millennials have significantly weaker hand grips than young people from 3 decades ago. The explanation has a lot to do with movement behavior because younger generations have spent much more time indoors, sitting and playing with electronics, than being physically active outdoors, which usually involves a wide range of movements, including climbing and object manipulation or manual work, which all contribute to hand grip strength. The first problem is that weakness in your hands is a symptom that reveals deficiency in overall physical strength and function. Grip strength is literally Hitler linked to life expectancy and is a more reliable predictor than blood pressure. Studies have shown that levels of grip strength in elderly populations are predictors of admission rates in hospitals, and that elderly patients with greater grip strength generally are released from the hospital significantly faster than people with lower grip strength. This implies that your level of grip strength might indicate more than your levels of strength and function. It might be an indicator of the overall status of your health, vitality, and mortality. The second problem is that you can't expect to just practice isolated hand grip drills to remedy the overall issue. Fortunately, natural movement skills such as climbing and manipulating efforts, lifting, carrying, throwing, or catching, contribute to strengthening your hands and your whole body because in those movements, your hand and the rest of your body are tightly connected as you perform the movement. In such movements, the stress and effort in your hands can't be disconnected from the stress and efforts in your body or the other way around. Similarly, you can't expect to develop full hand grip strength by practicing a single position or movement, for example, hanging from the hands or deadlifting. With about 30 muscles in the hands and forearms, hand grip strength is supposed to adapt to many kinds of positions and efforts. The grip strength necessary for hanging from open hands or from a finger hold isn't the same as the hand grip necessary to massage someone or use a screwdriver. And the hand grip necessary. Let me reread that sentence and use the correct words. The grip strength necessary for hanging from open hands or from a finger hold isn't the same, and the hand grip necessary to massage someone or use a screwdriver must adapt to a particular forearm, wrist, and finger movement. Position, amplitude, intensity, duration, and volume. Now, of course, the great one has fantastic hand grip strength, I can tell you, because I check my hand grip strength on a regular basis by grabbing my dick. Speaking of grabbing dicks, let us wrap this up with another book. I am reading Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. Yes, I know what you're saying. Whoa, great one. You, goddamn great one. You do enjoy pain, don't you? I do. I fucking love it. God, I love the pain. Now, you may be familiar if you listen to Rollo Tomasi droning on and 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 on in his 2 hour and 43 minute fucking YouTube videos, which are basically girls are poopy heads and hypergamy. I mean, Rolo's a brilliant guy. I've listened to a number of his podcasts. All of them could be condensed into about 20 minutes worth of actual material. You may have heard of the Sandbergian model of hypergamy, which Rolo references. For those of you who haven't, or even for those of you who have, let me read it to you. It's on page 115 of the book, Lean In, by Sheryl Sandberg, if you'd like to punish yourself and read this book as well. And I'll probably talk about this, but I will probably do a podcast devoted to this book. But this is not that podcast. But I want to talk about something specific. And it's not this, but we're just getting this out of the way because we need to get it out of the way. Here it is. Here is the Sandbergian model for hypergamy. When looking for a life partner, not a husband. See, they're not husbands. They are life partners. All right, let me stifle because this is not what we're talking about. I've already thought of three things. Let me just stifle. Let me read this to you, then we're going to move on. When looking for a life partner, my advice to women is date all of them. The bad boys, the cool boys, the commitment phobic boys, the crazy boys, but do not marry them. The things that make the bad boys sexy do not make them good husbands. When it comes time to settle down, find someone who wants an equal partner. Someone who thinks women should be smart, opinionated, and ambitious. I am choking down the editorial comments right now. This is fucking painful. Someone who values fairness and expects, or even better, wants to do his share in the home. These men exist, and trust me, over time, nothing is sexier. Okay, stifle, just stifle and move on. Now, as interesting as that is, because, you know, I mean, Rolo has made a big deal out of that, and there's a lot there. There's a whole lot there, don't get me wrong. But I'm reading this book, and I found something that to me, because once again, oh my God, hypergamy. Okay, how long can we ride that? I mean, yes, we get it, Rolo, hypergamy. It's a thing. I don't deny this. Yes, girls are poopy heads. I found this. To me, this is a lot more significant. Studies from around the world have concluded that children benefit greatly from paternal involvement. Research over the last 40 years has consistently found that in comparison to children with less involved fathers, children with involved and loving fathers have higher levels of psychological well-being and better cognitive abilities. When fathers provide even just routine childcare, children have higher levels of education and educational. Apparently, I'm not educated. When fathers provide even just routine childcare, children have higher levels of educational and economic achievement and lower delinquency rates. Their children even tend to be more empathetic and socially competent. These findings hold true for children from all socioeconomic backgrounds, whether or not the mother is highly involved. Now, and throughout the book, she cites a whole lot of fucking studies in this book. And to her credit, she does, like, provide the references, like she has them fucking noted where you can go find the study she's talking about. I'm going to be checking these studies out. I haven't done it yet. Okay. To her credit, she does provide sources for this shit that she says. Let's review this very quickly. Children whose fathers are involved, higher levels of psychological well-being, can't talk, I cannot fucking talk. Whew. Higher levels, psychological well-being, better cognitive abilities, higher levels of educational and economic achievement, lower delinquency rates, more empathetic, and more socially competent. Now, what we're being told by women is they don't need no man, right? Single mothers can do it all. Here is Sheryl Sandberg telling us that children who have fathers basically grow up to be more sane, more competent, less fucked up people. But wait, there's more. So that's on page 113. So I'm cruising along, and I get to page 135. When I drop my kids off at school and see mothers who are staying to volunteer, I worry that my children are worse off because I'm not with them full time. This is where my trust in hard data and research has helped me the most. Study after study suggest that the pressure society places on women to stay home and do, quote, what's best for the child, unquote, is based on emotion, not evidence. In 1991, the Early Child Care Research Network, under the auspices of the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, initiated the most ambitious and comprehensive study to date on the relationship between child care and child development, and in particular on the effect of exclusive maternal care versus child care. The research network, which comprised more than 30 child development experts from leading universities around the country, spent 18 months designing the study. They tracked more than 1,000 children over the course of 15 years, repeatedly assessing the children's cognitive skills, language abilities, and social behaviors. Dozens of papers have been published about what they found. In 2006, the researchers released a report summarizing their findings, which concluded that, quote, children who were cared for exclusively by their mothers did not develop differently than those who were also cared for by others, unquote. They found no gap in cognitive skills, language competence, social competency, ability to build and maintain relationships, or in the quality of the mother-child bond. Parental behavior factors, including fathers who are responsive and positive, mothers who favor self-directed child behavior, and parents with emotional intimacy in their marriages, influenced a child's development 2 to 3 times more than any form of childcare. One of the findings is worth reading slowly, maybe even twice. Quote, exclusive maternal care was not related to better or worse outcomes for children. There is, thus, no reason for mothers to feel they are harming their children if they decide to work. Unquote. Children absolutely need parental involvement, love, care, time, and attention, but parents who work outside the home are still capable of giving their children a loving and secure childhood. Some data even suggest that having two parents working outside the home can be advantageous to a child's development, particularly for girls. Now, this is why I've got to do a podcast. There's a whole lot there. There is a whole lot there to break down. And plus, I want to look at these studies. But let's have a look at what Sheryl Sandberg is telling us here. What the data is telling us. The data from the experts is telling us this. For a child to grow up to be a mentally healthy, functional adult, they need a father. The presence of a father helping raise the child makes them into better people. The data also tells us that if the mother is there, okay, but if the mother is not there, it's the same thing. The data and Sheryl Sandberg are telling us that the presence of a father is essential to raising mentally, emotionally, intellectually healthy children. The mother, on the other hand, isn't really necessary. Women are unnecessary for raising children into healthy adults. Which brings us back to what I've been saying for years. Women evolved to raise children. I know those of you who believe in science don't believe in evolution, because evolution is a fucking, you know, right-wing white supremacist conspiracy theory. Women evolved giving birth to children and raising children. Millions of years of evolution. And here today in North America, white women have devolved so far. They've gone so far back, evolutionarily speaking, that women's have actually lost the ability to do the one fucking thing they evolved to do, raise children. To the point that whether if the mother is involved in raising the child or not has no effect, according to the experts, on the child's development. Fathers are necessary to raise healthy children. And thus, we praise single mothers. Women raising children? Completely irrelevant. Not needed. So says the data. So say the experts. You're welcome.